نستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم أما بعد all thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all powerful all praiseworthy glorious maker sustainer creator of the universe one Allah the Allah that we believe in Allah that we depend upon Allah that we seek from Allah that we turn to La ilaha illallah there is none worthy of worship there is none worthy of praise there is none worthy of glory And then the one Allah, creator and sustainer of all the creations in the universe. As we proceed, we send darud and salam upon the final messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are commencing with a series of new lessons in the name of Allah, seeking the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking shelter in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the enemy of mankind, shaitani rajim, the accursed one. We seek the blessings and mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We proclaim that we believe in one Allah, that we follow and submit ourselves to the teachings and the sunnah, to the risalat of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The subject we are commencing with tonight is called Life After Death. And today is the 20th of Safar of the year 1428, equivalent to the 10th of March 2007. This series of lessons we are commencing with now was initially commenced with, was started in Muharram of the year 1401. In the first few days of Muharram in the year 1401, which was equivalent to the 26th of October 1981. If we are to date it according to our lunar Islamic calendar, that makes it 27 years ago. And if we date it according to the solar Gregorian calendar, then it is 26 years ago. So we are commencing in the same format, with the same chapters, in the same way, slight language variations only. Otherwise, the lessons remain exactly the same as it was when it was delivered in the year 1401 of the Hijrah. We're doing it now over again, a repeat in 1428. This fascinating subject of life after death, which is a branch of metaphysics, has held man spellbound for centuries, ever since the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu was salam, the children of Adam alayhi salam, and we are all the children of his children. We all come from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu was salam, the father of mankind, and Hawa alayhi salatu was salam, the mother of mankind. Since that time, man has always been puzzled by, fascinated by death. Since the occurrence of death, men have tried to probe the mysteries of death and what lies beyond death, if any at all. man's vexation with the secret of death has brought him many answers, some worthy of consideration, others trivial. The earliest teachings of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rasuls and the Anbiya's, have provided answers to the questions of mankind. But these were generally discarded and even disregarded by early man, who were more inclined to their own conclusions, to their own developing theories and their own speculations. So from the earliest time we find that mankind at the very early stages was prone to his own conjectures and speculation, to his own conclusions. From the very earliest time this happened, as I say, since we are concentrating on the Islamic aspect of the subject of life after death, I don't want to go into too many details with regard to the beliefs of other religions and their particular format about how they took on death, otherwise it becomes very, very lengthy. From the earliest times, men have fallen foul of their own egoism and self-commendation, which has been driven by the inveterate enemy of mankind, the shaitan, with his evil persuasions and his evil whisperings and his evil suggestions. Here again we find, when it came to the subject of death, of maut, then you find shaitan interfering and telling man, advising man, directing mankind as to what death is all about, what it means, what happens after death, what happens during death. Now do bear in mind also a particular point as we proceed, that before Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shaitan played a more active role in the lives of mankind than after his coming. Lots of limitations and restrictions were placed upon mankind after the arrival of the final messenger of Allah, Khatibul Nabiyyin, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole entire format was changed. In our subject on the creation of the universe, we are going to deal with that story as it's going to emerge when we go on to shaitan. But for the time being, for you and for me, life after death is what we do, are going to do on Saturday evenings, and the creation of the universe, in which we're going to do the story of shaitan and the story of man and the story of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salam, that you must see that under another series of talks that we are giving in this masjid called the creation of the universe. Our concentration now is life after death. Today also, once again, death has become a topic that dominates most discussions, and people avidly seek answers to difficult questions regarding what happens during death, what happens after death. Is death then the death now, the end of man? Many people believe that once a person dies, that's it, termination, finality, nothing further. That is the end of life. We are born to die, and when we die, that's it. We become extinct. We come into the world through birth, and our lifespan is until death. And the moment death takes place, the journey has come to a total and complete end. It is the culmination of life. There is simply no life after death. A great many in mankind hold that belief. The mystery of death still occupies current minds, and a hollowness creeps into the knowledge of mankind with all their scientific and technological breakthroughs, that after ages death still haunts the stages of life. Like primitive men, we also believe in death in two ways. Firstly, one, that it brings about the total extinction of man, his total extermination, the end. Secondly, Number two, that there is a life after death and man has not irrevocably ceased to exist. So 2 points. One says, halas, finished. End of mankind, final. The other viewpoint which people hold is that no, there is continuity of life. There is life after death. Life goes on. The first group says impossible. The second group says, why impossible? Possible. The first group says, no, that's it. That's the end. There is nothing. Prove to us that there is something. The second group says, you want to have our proof? Our proof is our maker and our creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us, this human figure, this human being, to go out of existence with death, and that's the end of it. This wonderful body, the physical structure, the spirituality in mankind, to end simply like that with death? No. What is unfortunately, despite our medical, psychological and philosophical progress and the advancement which mankind has made over the ages, man still remains uncertain, largely confused, and even contentious about the matter of death. And in most cases, our explanations and our understanding of the subject of death is superficial and also, on many occasions, very simplistic. You see, people don't want to think about death. It worries them. So they discard it from their minds. Don't want to think of death. Don't want to talk about death. Don't want to know about death. Reasons, secularism and modernism hold contempt for death bordering on the blasphemous. Science cannot corroborate the evidence of a life after death. So it flounders in a multitude of excuses. Primitive men saw in dreams and visions the evidence of an ongoing life after death. But they put it down to belief in apparitions, phantoms, specters, spirits, and even ghosts. So people in the past, in the earliest of times, they had dreams, they had visions. They saw their own family members, such as their parents, their elders, their priests in dreams. And their priests and their elders, their heroes, their family members, fathers, mothers and so on, uncles and aunts, came in their dreams and told them, but we are alive. We are in another zone. But we are very much alive. What do you think? We are gone forever? No, no. Some saw them in a very healthy state, in a very happy state. Some saw them in a state of being punished, burning. So people wanted to know, what is this? They needed explanations. Their religious leaders could not provide them with the explanations. So what did they do? They attributed it. They said, no, no. The reason what we are seeing is that these are not our family members. These are ghosts. Some said these are specters. Some said these are phantoms. Some said they are spirits. And some even said they are ghosts. And that is how idolatry developed, when people began to worship the ghosts of their forefathers. When they had these dreams and visions, what did they say? That look, no, our parents have died, our beloved have died, but they exist in ghosts. They exist in the form of ghosts and specters and phantoms, so we believe in them. Because they were very good people. And so started, who was the one who encouraged them and whispered to them and suggested to them to worship? Shaitan. Shaitan came along and says, here it is, there, those people are powerful. Those people are good. So they exist, but they exist in the form and the shape of ghosts. And so shirk started as such. Let's proceed further. Ancient religions, due to perversions and distortion of the original teachings of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believed in a succession of lives after death until the final achievement of a state of nirvana. What is nirvana? It is which is the extinction of individual existence due to death and absorption into a supreme spirit. So there it is, what I just explained to you. Nirvana is a Buddhist Hindu term which is applied. They say that when they saw these apparitions and ghosts, phantoms and specters in the deceased people, then what they did was, they said, well, one dream they saw was the person appeared as a lion, in the body of a lion. Then they saw him in the body of a tiger. Then they saw him in the body of an elephant. Then they saw him in the body of a snake, and so forth. So that is how shirk developed, and so it became that people began to worship stone figures, pillars, wooden pillars, or pillars, stone pillars. Then they saw the ghosts, phantoms in rocks, so they began to worship rocks. Shaitan used to go into these rocks and appear and speak to them through those rocks, through those water, through those lakes, through those carvings, through those statues. And people said, but there it is, these are my family members that are talking to us. But it was Shaitan. And so they were duped and misled and deceived by Shaitan, and they fell in prostration. This is how shirk started. Through the workings and the inducement of Shaitan. If you have that picture, now let's proceed further. Get this picture straight before we go into the actual Islamic story of life after death. Get how people were deceived and misled in the past by their own interpretations, misrepresented by, falsified by Shaitani Rajim. How Shaitan has been an everlasting enemy of man. Then we have Judaism, Christianity. These two religions hold conflicting views on life after death, and neither one has a clear-cut idea of life in the grave or life in the hereafter. Theirs is a very philosophical viewpoint. What they say is, the Yahud say we are a chosen people. It doesn't matter what we do. We are the chosen friends, the awliya of Allah, and therefore Allah has favored us. Allah gave us so many hundreds of prophets, chosen people, and therefore we have been favored by Allah, and therefore we have been saved by Allah. We therefore are going to go to paradise. That is their version. They say, no, we believe in a life after death, but we do not believe that there is any selection, that there is any judgment, that there is any reckoning. Or there may be a short reckoning. We will go maybe into the fire for a short while to be purified and clean, and then we will be put into paradise. The Christians, however, they have another point of view. Their point of view is that Christ died on the cross, the crucifixion took place for their sins, and therefore they are saved. They are saved because of the crucifixion of Christ. So their determination of death is that there are people who have been saved by the blood of Christ, Christ Jesus. That is their version. So, and then the Hindus have their versions, and the Buddhists have their version, the Zoroastrians have their version. Each one has got, but each one believes, unlike the Muslim. We come into the Islamic belief. Each one, non-Islamic religions believe that they have been saved from, they do believe in a hell, they do believe in a heaven, they do believe in the fire and the punishment of hell, and they do believe in the delights of a paradise. Oh yes, in the rewards and they believe. But they say, we have been favored, therefore our heroes, our prophets, our messengers, our leaders, our priests have died, and the sacrifice they made is to save us. So everyone, the Hindu believes he's going to paradise. Hindus believe, Buddhists believe, Zoroastrians believe, Christians believe, Jews believe. Everybody believes they're going to paradise. None of them is going to hell. there is no Jahannam for them. They've all been blessed with paradise, the guarantee of paradise, as long as they love Christ, as long as they love Moses, as long as they follow their priests, their rabbis, and so on and so forth. This is their particular belief. Understand that very, very clearly. However, amongst them, those that have a little doubt about being saved by a God of their religion, they still seek scientific credentials and verification of whatever occurs during the after death. The subject their discussions around, and they subject their discussion on death around conjecture and speculation. So what they do is, those who doubt among the Christians, there is a large segment, I will say the majority, who have some doubts. We will be saved just because Jesus died for us on the cross. It's unacceptable to them. So what happens is, they become what kind of Christians? We say, we have got a word, we say Vata slums. They become Vata Christians. That kind of thing, if you understand what I'm saying. So they are supposed to be Christians, but they don't care about their beliefs. There's a lot of doubt. But what they want is scientific evidence. They say science must provide the evidence. When they say there is grace in the grave, and there is punishment in the grave, they want to say, where is it? Come, show it to us. Show it to us. You Muslims say that there is punishment for a sinner, show it to us. If you can't prove it to us, then we have our doubts. Now we come to leave all the other religions. I know I have glossed over them. I have not given it to you because that is not our subject. And I don't want to spend too much time on that. What about Islam? What about the Islamic teaching about death, about life after death, and about Akhirah, the hereafter? We know that Islam is a perfect and a complete religion, a complete deen, a perfect deen, a consummate faith, based on clear evidence from divine revelation, from wahi, from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. Allah says, O my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O mankind, O Muslimin, this day have I, Allah, perfected your deen for you, your religion for you, your belief for you, your way of life for you, your code of living for you, leaving no room for additions and omissions. And I have completed my bounty upon you, for Islam is a complete and eternal code of life. And I have chosen Islam as your deen. O mankind, this is not for Muslims only. The whole of mankind is being addressed and told that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one you must obey, the one you must follow, the one you must believe in, whose lifestyle you must adopt, whose code of ethics and morality you must, remember the words, must accept and follow. This is not for only for Muslimin. This is for the entire mankind, and on the day of judgment, the whole of mankind, all the nations of the world, Christians and Jews, Buddhists and Zoroastrians, everybody will be represented. And all of them will flounder and sink. Because at that time they will be surprised to learn that Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah was the only man, the only prophet, the only messenger of Allah that they should have followed. So here in this ayah, Allah has made it clear, Surah Ma'idah, 5th surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear for the whole of mankind that this is it. Islam is, understand this, whatever follows is the teachings of Islam on the subject of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, such an important subject as death and its aftermath could not be left for human speculation and for human conjecture. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained all that we need to know about death explicitly and very clearly. There is nothing vague or inconsistent about the belief and teachings of Islam on the matter of death and life after death. The knowledge about death and life after death that is taught by Islam is the same as the teachings of previous messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the earliest of times, which did not appeal to mankind, so they subjected to their own fancies and interpretations. That is how it became lost generation after generation. In Islam, there is nothing disturbing, confusing, or mysterious about death. In earlier times, it may have been baffling and bewildering for mankind, and all sorts of innovative admixtures may have been introduced into the subject of death, especially by the mushrikeen and the kafirin, the idolatrous and unbelieving peoples of the world. But the Muslims have been provided with clear facts about deaths, so it is no longer left to the imagination and conjectures of mankind. Whatever there is in the Quran Majid and the Ahadith is real, it is true, it is haqq, factual, and part of the belief of our deen of Islam, which is perfect. And as Muslims, we abide by them, we accept them with the understanding that it deserves, and also appreciation. That is how the metaphysical realm of life has to be accepted when it is the subject of wahi of revelation and is divinely inspired. The element of contradiction is futile and useless, for men have not gone through the process of death and returned to establish for us the true pattern and nature of events as they unfold during and after death. What I am saying here is that you want proof, you want proof. But who is there in mankind who has really died, gone into death, gone into the other side, and come back to sit with us and tell us, look, this is what happens? Oh, the few incidents that I will report to you, that is a separate thing. But in general, who has gone, died and come back and sat with you and me and said, look, this is what happens when death takes place, and this is the life in the qabr, and this is what goes on in the qabr? How do we know about it? We know it through Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform and to educate us on the subject of death and the life after death. That is the life of the grave. In this introduction that I am doing now on the subject of life after death, I wish to state that the followers of pre-Islamic religions often made a mockery by ridiculing and scoffing at the teachings of the founders of their faiths. And this belittling and taunting eventually became one of the causes of their punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strange, isn't it? Bear in mind, every Nabi and every Rasul that has come to mankind taught haq, truth, and taught his people about maut, وَمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْآخِرَةِ. What happens in death? What happens after death? What happens in the qabr? And what happens after the qabr, after the resurrection, on the day of judgment? Every Nabi and Rasul has taught mankind. Now you tell me, 124,000 times, to every nation and every people in the world, in mankind, Allah sent messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver that message. And here up till now, look at the Christian version, look at the Jewish version, look at the Zoroastrian, look at all the versions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, and every other religion. What do they know about death? Look at the distortion. Look at the misrepresentation that they don't know. Hinduism is one of the oldest religions. Buddhism is even older than Hinduism. Zoroastrianism is an ancient religion. The African religions are very ancient and old. But when it comes to death, who's got the story right? None of them. None of them. And I am saying to you, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell mankind exactly what happens when death takes place. After death, the life in the grave. What takes place when the resurrection takes place? And what will happen on the day of judgment? If Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not inform us in detail, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal it in the Quran Majid, remember what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mentioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the commentary of the Quran Majid. Then tell me, where would mankind, where would we Muslims have been? What would we have known? We would have gone the same direction as the people and the followers of other religions. But shukr, we thank and show the most appreciation to the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala, the Muhaddisina Ikram, the Mufassirina Ikram, Awliya, all the great ulama haq, for what? For their contribution in preserving with their very lives, the deen of Islam. We say Allahu Akbar and we make shukr of them. So we are saying, there is nothing vague or inconsistent about the belief and teachings of Islam on the matter of death. The knowledge about death and life after death that is taught by Islam is the same as the teachings of previous messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the earliest time, which did not appeal to mankind. So what they did, they subjected to their own fancies and interpretations, and that is how it became lost generation after generation in mankind, nation after nation. In this introduction of the subject of death, I wish to state that the followers of pre-Islamic religion often made a mockery by ridiculing and scoffing at the teachings of the founders of their faiths. And so it went on to the stage where I have explained to you. Yet we find that as in the case of them preaching the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming perverted and distorted at the hands of their followers, the teachings on life after death underwent the same process of perversion and falsification. What I am saying here is a very important statement. Every Nabi, every Rasul, every revelation, every book of revelation taught mankind, instructed mankind, directed mankind, commanded mankind, Allah is one. Believe in one Allah, worship one Allah, praise one Allah, bow to one Allah, prostrate to one Allah, turn to no other but one Allah. Tawheed was taught all the time. None in mankind was ever taught any other teaching but the worship of one Allah. And yet what happened? They perverted it. They changed it. They corrupted it. Sayyidina Nabiyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. The Quran Majid was revealed. Tawheed was perverted and falsified. Similarly, I am saying to you, maut, death, life in the grave, life in the qabr, the resurrection, what will happen in the day of judgment, all that was perverted by previous nations, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preserved it for us, and it, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guardianship, it has remained with us in its original pure state. Allahu Akbar. This has been the trend in mankind. This has been the story of mankind, that every time a messenger of Allah Ta'ala came to them with the haq and the truth, they twisted it, they misrepresented it, and they falsified it. The Tawheed of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala was deformed and warped in such a way that shirk, idolatry, and polytheism was made the religion of mankind, of the people. The same procedure of distortion and perversion was applied to death and life after death, and the result is that non-Muslims remain largely uninformed or poorly informed about death. So they become puzzled, doubtful and dubious about death and the life after death. Many of them regard death as a morbid and a depressing subject to discuss and to reflect upon, and therefore prefer to live their lives ensconced in this material existence to attend to death when it happens. So the majority in mankind And I may also add here that amongst us there are many Muslims also who don't want to think about death. Like previous peoples also, they fear death to such an extent that they don't want to think about it, and they don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to discuss it. Well, this is what happened about many other people. Many regard death as a morbid subject, a very depressing subject, so they say, we don't want to reflect on it, we don't want to ponder on it, and yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadiths are coming where he says, many times a day we should consider mort and death. Men have in recent times become increasingly absorbed in material values, in material existence, and the modern life has begun to appeal to them, and they are finding greater comfort and pleasure in materialist existence. Money has become God. Wealth is what we now have begun to worship. A life of comfort and pleasure is what has become our motto. This has caused many, including Muslims, to lose their sense of perspective and values, and to become so attached and associated with material life and greed that they lack respect and fear for the inevitability of death, and make no preparations for their final separation from their family, from their friends, and for their final departure from this world. The fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seems to be waning, and fear for the loss of material assets and privileges seems to occupy their minds more than the coming of death. Their sense of proportion and justice and sincere evaluation of the teachings of Deen regarding death and its aftermath seems to be lessening, and death is no longer a priority for many. Mankind in general has misappropriated the teachings of their prophets, which was based on divine revelation, and have turned for comfort and consolation on man-made institutions, on man-made establishments, as if these will provide them with success in the life to come after death. Muslims need to realize and to awaken to the fact that death is the final separation from this earthly life, and there will be no returning to this planet ever again. So death should be viewed in a very serious light and not taken lightly and inconsiderately. These words that I've spoken here are very, very important. We have to keep moving. I don't want to explain everything. Listen to the recordings and you will understand what I am saying here. Very, very important factors which are being put down as I proceed, that we need to realize that we have to prepare for our departure from the dunya. Death is not a small matter, inconsequential matter. It is not an insignificant matter. It is a very serious matter. Each one of us, death is going to touch. So the more we know about it, the better informed we are about it, the better prepared we will be. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has placed clear and unambiguous rulings and explanations on the subject of death and the life after death and the life of the qabr and the grave, often in the minutest detail, with great emphasis on its importance to our lives with regard to the life to follow after death. That we need to take them very seriously and make them part of the pattern of our lives. These teachings have been explained so beautifully and comprehensively that we need to enact and identify them in our lives and lead lives of obedience and conformity to the standards of Islam, so that our death and the afterlife becomes a possible and a successful one. Only when we truly understand what death is all about and what life in the grave is all about, when we begin to appreciate this, which is coming in future lessons, then only will we understand how many fine details Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us about death and life of the grave. Yes, I agree that the subject is an unpalatable and distasteful one, which many people don't want to think about. But it is also an unavoidable and an inevitable one. So the more we learn and know about death and what comes after death and the life after death, the easier shall our passage out of this world be. Knowing is half the battle. The other half is on the skills that we develop to live the life of obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the pattern and the example of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we have to know, to adopt and to practice. The easier our passage out of this world will be. The Islamic value on death and the life after death is an appealing one. It is a valuable one. It is an essential one, which is not based on theory, on speculation and conjecture, but it is based on wahi, on divine revelation. It is based on divine inspiration to Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it should not be dismissed as inadmissible and unworthy. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us about death and the life after death is absolutely and undoubtedly true. It is authentic. It needs no human test. It needs no human appraisal. It needs no scientific proof. It needs no scientific verification. And its soundness is the truth, the haq spoken by Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It testifies and bears witness to the risalat of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina, the prophet of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether science and philosophy agree with Islam or not is not a matter of debate here. For we shall always have doubters, free thinkers and unbelievers in human society. The decisiveness rests of our decision. The decisiveness of our decision rests with the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he taught to the Sahaba ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, and left behind for the Ummah until Qiyamah. This is the foundation, this is the premise upon which we start our series of lectures and lessons on life after death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what we are going to learn here about death and the life after death. Ameen. The people of other than Islam religions may appear skeptical, they may appear confused, they may appear even dubious about the subject of death, and may be thoroughly uncertain and ambiguous about a life after death. But as far as Muslims are concerned, as for Muslims, they know precisely what their destination is going to be if they have lived a life of sincere submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and have strictly been guided by the Sharia of Islam, as well as having followed all the socio-moral principles of an Islamic life with all its beliefs and practices intact. Such Muslims put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they beseech the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them a place in the eternal abode of Jannah. So they depend, they hope, they pray. What? Allah's rahmah will guide them, lead them, direct them. Because they have led Islamic lives of obedience, submission to Allah and the Rasul of Allah, it is their hope Allah will grant them a place in Jannah. And they hope and pray that Allah will grant them a place in the eternal abode of Jannah. On the other hand, they also know that if they have and have led lives of transgression, of sin and evil, and have strayed from the beliefs, teachings and practices of Islam, then they are bound for the punishment of Jahannam, for they will be bereft of the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell you, no other religion has got this. I said earlier, remember, Christians saved, blood of Christ, crucifixion, we are saved. Our Savior has saved us. Yahud say we are privileged, we are the friends of God, we are the chosen friends of God, so we are saved. Hindus say we believe in so many gods, we worship so many deities, they will save us. Our gods are going to save us. Because we worship this one and that, 100, 1,000, many hundreds and many thousands of gods. Somewhere along the line, our gods are going to stand up for us and save us. Similarly, the Zoroastrians believe Zoroastria will save them. The Buddhists believe their Lord and God Buddha will save them. So it goes on. Every follower of every religion other than Islam believe they are going to paradise. They are going to be saved. What does a Muslim say? Yeah, I've outlined. He says, if you live the life of a Muslim, if you live in obedience to Allah, if you worship only one Allah, if you praise and glorify only one Allah, if you prostrate to only one Allah, if you turn to no other but one Allah, if you follow Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah, if you follow to the best of your ability every sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you follow every rule, condition and law of the Sharia of Islam, Allahumma, they say then we have no guarantee, then we hope that we will gain the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hope and we pray we will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only then may Allah decide to grant us admission into Jannah. And O Allah, if we do not obey you, if we don't, we can be Muslim, doesn't matter. We can be those who believe in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, but that has only been a slogan and a chant by us. And we have just hymned La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Oh Allah, if we are sinners, if we have broken the law, if we have not been obedient to commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have not followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we have not obeyed the sharia of Islam, if we have not followed the socio-economic moral principles and laws of Islam, O Allah, we don't stand a chance. Who says that? Only the Musliman, only the Muslim. He says, O Allah, I know I am a goner. I have no chance. The Muslim says that. We teach it, we instruct it, we direct it. Over and over again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear in the Quran, Majid Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear. You may live your whole life as a Muslim and die as a kafir. You may live your whole life as a kafir and die as a Muslim. Allah's choosing. When Allah chooses. How Allah chooses. Who Allah selects for Jannah. This is not human choice, not man's choice. A Muslim believes in that. This is the difference. And I am saying to you, it is important to know, what is this death all about? What is the life after death? What happens in the qabr? Did my Rasul tell me what's going to go on in the qabr? I need to know. And I need to know it as much as I can. I need to inform and educate myself as to what goes on there. Oh, it's not an empty life. Is there a life in the qabr? I want to know. And after the qabr, the resurrection, the ba'th takes place. Allah says in the Quran, and all of you will get up from your graves when the ba'th, when the trumpet blows for the first time. Mankind, all of mankind will arise from their grave. They will be resurrected. And they will arise. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. And then they will be marched from their graves to the field of mahshar to be judged. One by one, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of reckoning, the day of resurrection. We believe in it absolutely. Yes, we say everything belongs to the unseen and the unknown. But we believe in it absolutely. 100%. Not a fringe of doubt. That is a Muslim. Nobody else says what we say. Nobody else believes like we believe as Muslimin. It is the Islamic belief that man serves three terms in life and existence. His first term is in this ephemeral world that will be finally destroyed by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say our first existence, three stages in human life. Every man is subject to this. Every woman is subject to this. Three stages in the existence of mankind. One is the first stage. that is dunya life. Second is the life of the qabr, we call it the barzakh. And the third stage is akhirah. Every human being will be subject to these three phases in their existence. His second life will be in the grave, which is known as the barzakh. And the third life in human existence is the one in the hereafter, the akhirah, where he will be in paradise or he or she will exist in hell. These are known as number one. Let's name them, define them as they have been defined by Allah and the Rasul of Allah. Number one, first stage, alame dunya. Second stage, alame barzakh. Third stage, alame akhirah. The word alam means world, life, existence. Number one, the world of this dunya, this world of ours. Secondly, the one of the world of the grave. Look how alame barzakh, the world, this world, this planet Earth on which we exist, first stage. Then the world of the grave, very important, the world of the grave. What does it mean? In this dunya, we live in this world, okay? There is a life, we have things to do, and so on and so on. World of the barzakh, alame barzakh, the world, oh, there's things to do there as well. Oh, we will learn about them. Oh, yeah. Qabr is a very busy place. Allahu Akbar. And then, alame akhirah, the world of the hereafter. Three worlds, three stages. Oh, they differ from one another. We will do that. Oh, they differ completely from one another. The life of the grave, the world of the grave is different from planet Earth. The world of the akhirah is different from the world of the grave. The world of the grave, alam barzakh, is an intermediary stage. That's all it is. All men will go through these three phases or three stages of their existence, but the accurate knowledge of the time of the... Now listen to this. All men will go through these three worlds or these three stages in their existence. But the accurate knowledge of the time of their occurrence, that is when death will occur, how long one will reside in the qabr, in the grave, when will the ba'ath, the resurrection, take place, and when will the day of reckoning, Yawmul Qiyamah, happen, these have not been made known to mankind during any phase of their existence in this world, not even disclosed and revealed to the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That knowledge is only in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has not told us when any man is going to die, any woman is going to die. Allah has not told us how long we're going to live in the qabr. 1 year, 100 years, 1,000 years, million years, millions of years. We don't know. Allah has not revealed that knowledge. When will the resurrection, the ba'ath, takes place? Nobody knows. Not even Sayyidina Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was asked, he said, I don't know. The questioner knows as little as what he knows. Jibreel alayhi salam asked him these questions. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you asking me? Do you know? I don't know. How can I know what you don't even know? Jibreel alayhi salam also doesn't know. Subhanallah. None of the angels knows. That is only in the knowledge, specific, confined to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All what I've said here. Now, you ask yourselves, why? There is great depth and wisdom in this lack of disclosure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to test whether men accept the teachings and preachings of their Nabis and their Rasuls, of their prophets, if they use their power of intellect to probe the universe and understand the absolute power and inviolate oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whether men see the fruits of obedience and truth in their own lives and the desecration and damage from transgression and evil. I put down. Why? Why does Allah reserve this knowledge to Himself? Why is the secret knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why has Allah not revealed it to any messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Not even in the Quran Majid has Allah told us this piece of information, these pieces of information. What are they? When death will occur, how long one will reside in the qabr, when will the ba's resurrection take place, when will the day of reckoning happen? These have not been made known to mankind. I'm giving you the reply. What is the reply? Why? The answer is that there is a lot of depth and a lot of wisdom in this. Lack of disclosure. That is, Allah has given us an aqal. This is such a splendid gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man, open your mind, open your heart. Do you know what is this aqal? The whole of the creation refused. All of creation refused to accept. Adam alayhi salam, our father, got up quickly on his knees. His knees buckled, he nearly fall down. And he said, well, I will accept this aqal. What a magnificent thing this is. I want it for me. I want it for my children. Our father accepted it happily. Allah gave it to him. He asked for it. Allah said, you want it. Oh, the mountains refused. The heavenly bodies refuse. The animals refuse. The plants refuse. Everything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Entire solar system refused. The star galaxies refuse. The planets refuse. Earth refuse. The earths refuse. The heavens refuse. The oceans refused. The mountains refused. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said, give it to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted, put it in trust. Mark these words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to our father Adam alayhi salam in trust. Oh Adam, I trust your children will make good use of this aql, that they will not destroy this aql that I'm giving. This human intelligence is such a gift if it is used properly. And you know, in the subject of life after death, we will learn to use our mind, our intellect, our brains, our sense of reasoning in the right way. Death is a subject which is the door of disclosure, because you need death. Death opens up the door into akhirah. If we know death, then we know what lies beyond death. That is why the subject of death has not been disclosed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah told us that when we're going to die, oh, we should have been so fearful that all of us would have subjected. We all would have been good practice. This masjid would have been full every waqt. Packed. Can you imagine? So what has happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us. He gave our father in trust as an amana. Oh Adam, I'm giving this to you. This beautiful gift. Do you know aqal? Look at the animals. How big they are, but no aqal. Look at the mountains. How mighty they are. No aqal. Look at the heavens and the earths. No aqal. And this puny insan that dies 50, 60 years of age, if he comes in front of a car and the car knocks him down, he's dead. Put a knife through his heart, he's dead. Take a hammer and hit him on his ears, he's deaf. Take your fingers and put it through his eyes, he's blind. Take your hands and close his mouth, cannot breathe, suffocates, he dies. So easily man dies. But man has been granted a gift. Man, use that gift. Learn about death. Learn about death, because when you learn about death, the door is open. Knowing about death is the doorway into the hereafter. If you want to know about the hereafter, start with death. And the passage will be open. When that door is open, you see what's going to happen in the qabr. Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah Sallam, so beautifully, look, O Muslimin, this is what happens. This is what happens. This is what happens. Prepare yourselves. Oh, then, yes. Over and over again. 40, 50 times a day, think of death. Allahu Akbar. Remember Allah. Multiplied many times, but also think of death often. It's going to come and catch up with you at some time. You don't even know when. But be prepared. That is the reason why. So here is the answer to that question. The depth and wisdom, which is to test whether men accept the teachings and preachings of their prophets, if they use their power of intellect to probe the universe. So one is this amanat which Allah has used the gift of intellect properly. And second one is, look around the signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you look at the signs of the truth and the haq, you cannot count, they're countless. Look at a flower and the fragrance and the color of the flower. Where does it come from? Look at the leaves, look at the grass. Look how Allah has provided and sustains us. Look at the signs of Allah. Look into the heavens. Look at the starry heavens. Look at the earth. Look at the ground. Look how Allah has brought. You take dried dead seeds, you throw it into the soil, and you get a crop, and so on. Don't you see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Use your intellect. That Allah is telling you that there is a life after death. Why is Allah telling us about Yawmul Qiyamah? Allah is telling about Alame Barzakh. Allah is telling us about Ba'as and the resurrection. What is all this all about? Accountability and reckoning. What is it? Allah wants to frighten us? Or is it a reality and the truth and the haq we need to know? Alright, that's the second one. And the third is whether men see the fruits of obedience and truth in their own lives and the discipline. You know, when a person is obedient to Allah and submission to Allah, and he makes all and carries out all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he follows the true sunnah of Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the fruits? He sees it in the dunya. What? Piety, purity, peace and contentment he has. And look at the kuffar and mushrikeen, and you will see the difference. No peace, no contentment, ever greedy, so greedy they are killing millions of Muslims to fulfill their greed. Are they not worse than animals? Asfala safilin, Allahu Akbar, worse than animals. They don't fear death, they have nothing to worry about, no fear at all. That must be a lesson to us. I need to know about death so that I fear death. I fear it because it comes from Allah. I fear it because I must put myself in order, that I must see to it that my Allah is pleased with me, because my lights may go out. I may not see the sun rising tomorrow. Therefore, Ahmed, that is the lesson. That is why we must know death. We must prepare for death. And the desecration and damage from transgression. Men can never be so blind, deaf and dumb as not to see the benefits of true belief and true function. We're going to end off here, inshallah. And then we will proceed. I just want to finish this one paragraph. The whole focus of life for us humans is to prepare thoroughly and splendidly for death and the life which comes after it. The life after death. This is why we have been so thoroughly informed about death and the afterlife, so that we can prepare for it. How to prepare for death and the life to come after it? We are blessed in that all the details of death and the life to come after it has been provided to us in detail by Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a clear concise, distinct and definitive way, so clear and well proportioned and well defined that it leaves no doubt in the minds of the followers of Islam, the followers of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mankind, with all the knowledge they have accumulated over the ages, over centuries, and their endless scientific endeavors, could never fill the vacuum of the unknown and the unseen as ably and proficiently as delivered and taught to us by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question of the accuracy and veracity of that knowledge supplied to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the point and the bent of the faith of Iman in Islam. The seen, visible and tangible realm of human existence is this dunya. What lies beyond this dunya? What lies yonder? What do we know about the world that lies beyond this material world that we live in? Surely for that knowledge we are dependent upon our maker, our creator, our sustainer, Allahu wahdahu la sharika la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah is a provider of true information and accurate knowledge, and this has been passed on to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through him, through his risala, through his sunnah, it has reached us. As Muslims, we believe in the truth and accuracy of the reports given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the essence of Islamic belief and practice. As long as we have this, we will succeed. And if we lose this, then we are lost. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. I want to do a little more, but inshallah we'll continue next week. Saturday, this is the first installment. There's a little more of the introduction to do, and inshallah after that we'll proceed. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.